Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Please listen for God's word to you today. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. My brother James never liked school. However, both of my parents had attended college, all of his friends attended college, and we lived in a community where everyone, it seemed, attended college. So James went to college. James went to college, but he didn't really like it, and he struggled to get through it. So throughout his young adulthood, he was in and out of schools and was constantly looking for ways to make a living without a college education. He tried moving furniture, but it injured his back. He tried landscaping, but it was too seasonal. He tried cleaning office buildings, but that required working through the night. He even tried professional racquetball. At one point, when he was in college, he took a course in geology, which he really liked, so he began reading books about rocks. After a time, he began to talk about going up into northern Canada to prospect for precious gems. After listening to James's fantasy about prospecting for about 6 months, in the midst of dinner one night, my father slammed his fist on the table and barked, "Quit talking about it and just do it." Whereupon my father, who took an annual hunting trip up to northern Canada, bought my brother a tent, a camp stove, a lantern, an axe, a hat with netting to guard against the black flies, extra gas cans for getting into the wilderness and back out of the wilderness, and a canoe, explaining that up there one traveled by water rather than by car, as the roads are few and the lakes are many. Before James departed, I quietly suggested perhaps it would be prudent if he learned to use the canoe before he left. So my parents and James and I went out to a lake in the Dexter area with the canoe and a paddle, where I endeavored to teach my brother to canoe. At Girl Scout camp, where I worked in the summers, the girls had to pass a tip a canoe test before they were allowed to take a canoe out onto the lake. In a tip a canoe test, the girls would go out a short distance into water over their head, where they would intentionally flip the canoe over, jettisoning themselves into the lake. Then, while treading water, they would have to roll the overturned canoe back upright, climb into the upright canoe without flipping it again, and while sitting in the bottom of the canoe now filled with water, paddle to shore using their hands. Simple, right? Well, let us say that the canoe lessons did not go well. Despite my telling James that when you initially get into a canoe, you have to step carefully on the keel in the middle while holding on to the two sides rather than walking on each side of the canoe. James, still standing upright, stepped on the far right of the canoe rather than on the keel, so that the canoe pitched violently and promptly overturned, jettisoning my brother into a flotilla of water lilies, where he landed right next to a giant black water snake, which had been swimming unnoticed through the water lilies. Now, the Barr family does not do snakes. So it took us more than 30 minutes just to get James to try it again. Unfortunately, no matter how hard he tried, every time he tried to get back into the water-filled canoe, it would roll back over, sliding him back into the lake. Finally, after 2 hours of watching James labor fruitlessly, my mother said, "I don't think this is going to work." So we emptied the water-filled canoe, loaded it back on the truck, and drove home. On the drive home, my father was silent. Then, just as we were pulling into the driveway at home, he blurted out, "A rubber raft. We'll get him a rubber raft. That will be stable." The following day, when my father arrived home from work, he carried a large box in and plunked it down on the kitchen table, saying, "Here, he'll never flip this." When we opened the box, we found an 8-man rubber raft. A few days later, my father packed my brother with his car, with a tent, a camp stove, a lantern, a hat with netting, the gas cans, some food, a map, our Newfoundland dog to protect him, the 8-man raft, and a paddle, and sent James up into the wilds of northern Canada. Less than 2 weeks later, my brother returned home in a car covered with mud. He had quite the stories to tell about his adventure. He had encountered a moose and a bear, and fortunately, no snakes. The mantle on his lantern had broken the second day, so he only had a flashlight and a fire for a source of light. One of the gas cans had leaked so that his car smelled of gasoline, and so did his pillow. The list of challenges went on. But these had not been the things that had driven him home from his adventure prematurely. No, it was the rubber raft. When James went out into the lake in a large raft designed for 8 men and paddled from one side, the raft would go in circles. He tried sitting in the middle of the raft so that he could alternate paddling on each side, but he couldn't reach either side from the middle. He tried paddling on one side and then moving to the other side, but the raft would just circle in one direction and then in the other direction. He tried paddling from the back, and he tried paddling from the front instead of from the sides. But again, the raft just kept going in tighter circles. No matter what James did, no matter how hard James tried, he just couldn't get across the lake in his 8-man rubber raft when paddling alone. So finally, he came home. None of us is meant to go it alone. None of us is meant to do it by ourselves. We are born into families. Any mother knows, although raising a child is a joy and a privilege, raising a child is also a huge responsibility and a challenge, and mothers need help meeting that challenge. Mothers need help and support of fathers, grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors, teachers, coaches, nurses, doctors, other mothers, other fathers, and church families. Mothering is serious business. Loving a mini human being into a loving, caring, giving soul is a huge responsibility and challenge. And God gives us mothers, families, and communities to help and to support us in that blessed task. For none of us mothers can do it alone. Indeed, the writer of Ecclesiastes told us that two are better than one because they have a reward for their toil. If they fall, they can be lifted up by one another. For woe is the one who falls alone and does not have anyone. The writer of Ecclesiastes further asserts that three is even better than two, for a threefold cord is not quickly broken. None of us can do it alone. Nor are we intended to. Even Jesus did not go it alone. Jesus chose followers, disciples, Talmudim, who worked with him, learned to live like him, and who continued to work after him. Disciples to whom Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, I have to tell you that for years I found this statement very puzzling. How could anyone do works greater than Jesus? Then I realized that his followers, his disciples, his Talmudim, who believed in Jesus, they believed in Jesus and trusted that Jesus had gone to the Father, and in response, together, the disciples preached the good news and showed God's love to the world. And together they made new disciples, who in turn made more 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 disciples. So that in the end, the disciples of Jesus did indeed do greater works than Jesus. They didn't turn water into wine. They didn't feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They didn't calm a storm, and they didn't walk on water, except for Peter momentarily. But they did make disciples, more disciples than Jesus, far more disciples. They made so many disciples that today there are nearly 2.4 billion Christians in the world, which makes up 1/3 of the world's population. When we look around at the church today and we think about the future of the church tomorrow, we tend to think, I can't possibly make a difference. When you think this, you are right. You alone cannot possibly make a difference. Alone, we are rather like my brother James trying to paddle an 8-man raft by himself. But if we truly believe in Jesus Christ, trusting that Jesus has gone to the Father and promised to be with us as we work, and we work together, all of us, like the disciples, together we can make a tremendous impact, a tremendous difference. Indeed, we were baptized into a church family because God knows, and Jesus knew, that together we can do even greater works than Jesus himself. Amen.